Hello there, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Golf Shake Podcast. With us, as always, is Mr. Matt Holbrook. I'm Ryan Rastall, PGA Professional at Howley Hall Golf Club in Leeds. Hello to you all, and more importantly, hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. It has to be said, we need to tell everyone the reason we didn't get the podcast out on Monday, we had some gremlins in the system, didn't we? We tried to record this. Obviously, me and Matt don't live anywhere near each other, so we have to rely on the strength of our internet connection. And unfortunately, yesterday it was pretty rubbish, wasn't it? So we got about 6-7 minutes in, and it decided not to work anymore, didn't it?
And it was 6 or 7 quality minutes, by the way.
It was gold. It was gold, Matt. Absolute gold.
Yeah. Not sure how we're going to raise ourselves.
Absolutely our best stuff. I'm not just saying that. It really was. You know, the sort of time of night we tend to get to record this podcast is fairly late on after a full day at work. And sometimes, I'm not going to lie, I don't feel my best. But I'm energized this week by a number of things, really. One, I got to play a bit of golf last week. Two, the FedEx Cup's hotting up, which we'll talk about in a minute. We've got some great stuff to talk about today. So we're obviously going to go through things like, you know, the FedEx Cup, as I've just mentioned, what happened on the DP World Tour. We're also going to do a bit of a feature on who we think is going to make the European Ryder Cup team and just have a bit of a chat about the Ryder Cup in general. And we've also got a bit to talk about trolleys, haven't we, and golf trolleys. Yeah, so we've actually been lucky enough at Golf Shake to be sent some from Motor Caddy in the last few weeks. So we've been sent 3 different electric models. You've been sent one of their push trolleys, haven't you? Is it the Cube that you've been sent?
Yes.
But we're also going to have a bit of a chat about other manufacturers' trolleys as well. So we've got all that to look forward to. But let's start with our golf, Matt, because that's the most important, obviously, isn't it? What have you been up to in the last 7 days on the golf course?
I played golf with a good friend of the show on Thursday morning. I can't remember. One day last week, anyway. Just felt like I was about to go through one of those little struggly periods again. I'm just trying to think back. We've done a podcast inside the comp at Felixstowe. And then just out of nowhere, went up to play golf early this morning. Was hitting a few balls. I hadn't actually physically played golf since Friday morning, I think. So I just kind of, I was teeing off at 6:30 this morning. So I got up there about 6:10. Just hitting a few balls in the net. I was hitting it terribly. I was like, I know it's in the net and I know it doesn't really count, but you know, you're just having a little warm up and you think, right, this, they're nowhere near the middle. They're catching everything heavy. And then sort of hit a really hooky freewood off the first, didn't get it out of the rough and ended up making a really crappy bogey on the first. And then literally from there, I was like level until the 18th and ended up shooting 2 over. It just kind of come out of nowhere. So good one for me this morning. Good one for me.
Good.
Yeah. Just 27 parts will always help, right?
Yes, that'll always get the job done.
Talk to me about you. Go on. Enough about me.
I know last time we spoke, I wasn't that confident going into it last week, and because I've been playing awful. And to be honest, I mean, it's a 36-hole competition. Like we said, the first 18 holes, I was just dreadful. I hit it all right, just scored so bad. I hit a few iron shots that went just miles further than I was expecting them to, which is never a good thing. It just put me in a bit of trouble, and I really struggled to score, to be honest. Just felt a little bit, I suppose like I hadn't played for ages because I hadn't, but yeah.
Do you think you're going after it a bit too much?
Not at all, no. I was in fact trying to do the opposite. Maybe I wasn't, I don't know. I mean, the few that I hit, I don't want to bore you with it, but there's one hole where I hit a 9-9 that went like 175 yards, which I wasn't planning on doing. I was planning on hitting it 152, which was the yardage that I had. It just went so far. A couple of others, it was just a bit leaked. I've been struggling with my back a bit all year as well, and that didn't feel great first round. It almost took me about 18, between 18 and about 27 holes to feel like I'd warmed up, if I'm honest, despite doing a decent warm-up before I played. But yeah, I mean, the afternoon round was better. And certainly the last sort of 10 holes I played, I was 4 under par for the last 10 holes. So that was a bit better, but I'd already kind of shot too poor a score in that time to really rescue it, you know. And then I played again today, went out for a few holes with Dan Gavins this afternoon and was two under for there. So for the last 18 holes, I'm six under par. So that's not too bad. But yeah, it was the sort of 27 holes preceding that were fairly awful, if I'm honest.
You've got to forget them. Don't worry about them. Yeah, they're done now.
Yeah, but yeah, well, obviously we've got other competitions coming up. So I've got a pro-am next week at Howley again. So hopefully we can put a decent score together in that and yeah, hopefully pick up some cash because that's what it's all about. So yeah, you're seeing some sort of improvement in yours though, yeah? You're seeing some decent golf.
Well, I mean, this one this morning come out of nowhere. Like I say, I mean, I'm going to be honest. And again, without talking people through it, because we know that that's pretty boring.
That's horrible, yeah.
There was three or four stinky pars. Like, you know, I'm talking, one was from the wrong fairway. One was in the trees and then had to play up the wrong fairway and then like hold a 20 footer for a four. But in between that, there was some good golf in there this morning actually. But yeah, just hold like 9-1 putts is going to help any score. I don't care what level you're playing at. You know, that's going to do the trick. So that's that. I'm just looking at my diary. The next 3 weeks, like, I've got a fair bit coming up. I found out this morning, I have to share it with you, I found out this morning that I entered a competition at a place called Hunstanton, which is up in the Norfolk coast.
Yep.
You'll know it. The Hunstanton. The Hunstanton Bowl. So I've never been up there before, but it's one of these quite tough to get in kind of open comps where they'll just take the lowest field possible, and the max handicap was 5. But I just got the email this morning to say that I'm in.
Oh, good.
So I got that in. Well, it's 3 weeks. I think 3 weeks on Friday. And that's after I've been away for 3 days with a few of the boys from the golf club up in the northeast. So that'll be a nice week. But more on that, closer to the time. But
that sounds good. Sounds awesome, to be honest, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. And I've got a little day out with our esteemed leader next week at the London Club.
Oh, very good.
Down in Kent. So that's going to be nice to look forward to.
What are you playing there?
We're playing the international okay. course. It's just going for a day out, just me and Darren. Just
what day?
Tuesday next week.
Awesome.
Yeah, because it's bank holiday Monday, isn't it, next week?
Yeah, it means nothing to me, mate, unfortunately.
No, it means nothing to me.
Bank holidays don't exist. But yeah, they're a good chance for most of you to get out on the golf course and enjoy yourself. Unfortunately, I'll be in the shop, so yeah.
Great. I have also, do you know, I don't know if you recall, a couple of weeks back I played in this Stableford where it's like a combined Stableford and medal over two different rounds or days, if you like. Yeah. So I've got the medal round this weekend as well. So
right, okay.
I'm gonna need a
Stableford.
I think I had 33 points.
I
think 38 won. No, I think there might have been a 40 in the midweek, but that was a lady off like 30. So with all due respect, I'm not expecting, you don't generally get good medal scores.
No.
I think it'll even the field out, to be fair. I think it's a good format. I don't know if many other people have like kind of do anything like this, but I do feel like I'm going to need to go under handicap in the medal. I think, after the Stableford, the 33 points won't be enough. I needed that to be 35, 36 to stand a chance, but you never know.
You never know. You got to be in it to win it, Matt.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about this week's golf on the various major tours. We'll start with the DP World. So we saw Dan Brown win there for the first time. He has been playing quite well recently. Decent performance. I think it was the Barbasol. He got to play on the PGA Tour a few weeks ago whilst the Open was on, I believe. Had a good performance there. Has come back across and obviously played some really good golf at Galgorm this week, taking home the title. So, and did you watch much of this? Have you seen much of the golf from over there?
I saw bits and pieces. To be honest, I actually watched more of the ladies than I did the men's, because it was that this dual event where you've got the men's and ladies. So it's not, they weren't in the same comp, but playing the same courses at the same time, I think. And that was a playoff. in the ladies, which I'm sure we'll touch on. But yeah, I did. I saw bits and pieces, but it was quite comfortable in the end, wasn't it? He won by five from Alex Fitzpatrick again. Who's
indeed, he's sneaking up there as well. Yeah, he's certainly had a pretty purple patch as well, really, hasn't he, in his game? So yeah, I mean, great to see Dan Brown. I mean, the 36-hole tournament I played this week was the Yorkshire Open, and Dan Brown won that a few years ago when he was still an amateur playing for England. And yeah, he shot a pretty good score. I think he was something like 5 or 6 under for two rounds, so pretty good. Yeah, managed to win at Howley, so that was nice. But yeah, he's just gone from strength to strength since, you know, playing Challenge Tour, and obviously he was still an amateur when, like I said, when he was over at Howley, and I think he played in the Dutch Open the week after and did okay as well. So yeah, he's obviously just got better and better. So talk to us about the ladies event then, Matt.
So it wasn't a low scoring affair, and to be honest, I only caught the final hole in regulation. And then I was trying to get a few bits done around the house. But it went to a three-way playoff, which was quickly reduced to a two-way playoff after the first playoff hole. It was Gabriella Cowley, who's kind of fairly locally based to me, or was. She looked like she was in the driving seat. It was a par five to finish. The American lady, I'm kicking myself because her name's completely gone from my head, but I know it was her birthday.
Did you say that?
No, she won it on her birthday. I'm Googling. She's 19-year-old American. And it's really annoying because I sat and watched it and now I can't remember her name. But yeah, so basically she put it in the trees, and Gabs Cowley found the par five green in two, but three putted, and the American girl who won, it's terrible, isn't it?
I'm keeping you stewing here because I know who it was.
Well, just tell me.
It's Alexa Pano that won, yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I'm going to call her Alexa. So she was chipping out the trees and then made a brilliant fire from there to take it to a second playoff hole. And then you had to be in the fairway there. It was key. So yeah, so that was it was nice to see somebody win on their birthday. It's always nice that. And
did you watch the Netflix documentary that Alexa was in, The Short Game? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that. Do I need to watch that?
Yeah, you do, absolutely, because I can't remember how old she is in that, but she's not very old, probably.
Well, she was 19, wasn't she, on Sunday?
I'm going to say she was about 10 when they did this.
Really? Was it called The Short Game?
Short Game, yeah. It's all about sort of child, almost like child prodigy golfers, really, and how pushy parents kind of make them play like 7 rounds a day and stuff like that. But, I mean, some of it is great in the way that some of the parents aren't that pushy and they kind of just let the kids get on with it and help them, but some of them have got like mental coaches and swing coaches by the time they're like 7. It's absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, it's a really, really good series to watch. So
I remember one
of the other kids on it was Alan Kournikova, who's Anna Kournikova's little brother, and he's really good player as well. Yeah, there's loads, so kids from all over the world really, but there was a few, the ones it focused on really in the US were kind of all at country clubs and sort of, yeah, playing just every day. And, yeah, it was bonkers. But, yeah, Alexa was one of those, and you can obviously see that that's come to fruition for her, having won for the first time. So, yeah, absolutely amazing finish for her, and particularly to do it in a playoff is very satisfying for her as well. So, yeah, I mean, very, very good performance. Let's have a talk about the PGA Tour. So that's really hotting up the FedEx, and the race to the FedEx Cup is sort of becoming more intriguing every week. We've got those kind of normal protagonists up there in Scheffler, in Rahm, just kind of top of the order of merit all the time. The Rorys of this world up there as well. But we had an unbelievable round, and particularly unbelievable last 9 holes from Victor Hovland, didn't we?
He was just on fire. He had 4 or 5 birdie putts inside 10 foot.
Yeah.
I mean, that is chucking some serious darts, and it's the definition of being in the zone. I think it's,
yeah,
I can only imagine when you're in that kind of mind state, it's just kind of almost on like free flow. Like, you know, I can't think that you'd be thinking too much about it, just feeling good, getting up and hitting it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw something from Fitzpatrick today, thinking he'd made quite a decent move and played well on Sunday and probably had a chance to win. And then he looked at the leaderboard and Victor was just going ballistic, is what he says. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to win from there. But, you know, Scheffler again, second place.
I called it last week, didn't I? I called it Scheffler. And other than a 61, Sunday 61, would have got it done.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic performance again from him. He's just so consistent, isn't he? He's just there all the time. Never seems to have a week off or, you know, a bad one, does he, to be honest? He's just like I say, in the mix at just about every single event, which is what you need to do to be right up at the top of the FedEx Cup standings, really. But, you know, we've got our 30 players now that are going to play at Eastlake next week. I mean, I'll just list the top 10 here that I think probably are the ones that have got a realistic chance. You've got Scheffler, Hovland, McIlroy, Rahm, Glover, Homer, Cantlay, Harman, Clark and Fitzpatrick. I think outside that, it's going to be a struggle for any of those guys. You know, the next guys are Fleetwood, Henley, Bradley, Fowler, Schauffele, all at starting at 3 under. As we know, there's quite a weird kind of format, this, isn't it, where Scheffler starts 10 under and everyone else, depending on how many points they've got, is at a bit of a disadvantage. So, it's going to be a tough ask for one of those guys to haul, well, give Scheffler 7 shots and haul him in, isn't it? Particularly how he's playing.
Well, I'm actually saying that I can't see. You say the top 10. I'll be honest, I'm looking at the top 4. Yeah. I don't see anyone outside that top 4 of Scheffler, Hovland, McIlroy, Rahm winning. And I'll be honest, I don't see anyone other than Rory winning. He's got a fantastic record around that golf course. He doesn't mind chasing people down on that golf course. He's done it in the past. I think he's gone into this event on 4 under or the equivalent in the past and still won. If you actually look at his scoring without this kind of weird head start that they give him, his scoring is incredible around the golf course. And I know that we expect so much of him, but he's not had a bad year. He's still playing some, you know, incredible golf. It's just not the kind of levels that we expect of him, and he probably expects of himself.
Well, maybe. I mean, he hasn't won a major, but he could still win both the FedEx Cup and the Race to Dubai, which is.
And I expect him to definitely win the FedEx Cup. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I look outside that, like, I look outside that top four, and I think, you know, if you're being realistic, I think maybe Max Homer, Cantlay have got a chance, but they've got to do something special over 4 days to reel the other guys in.
They have, yeah, absolutely.
Some good teams, obviously they're going out in two balls as well. So you've got, you know, Scheffler and Hovland going out together. You've got McIlroy and Rahm going out together. It's a couple of nice groups there. Should be good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be watching with intent this week, really. I mean, it's very, I don't know, it's just compelling all in all. I honestly can't see anyone getting Scheffler. I really can't.
I
think he's just too good.
Yeah.
He's just too consistent. I think he's going to struggle. Well, anyone else is going to struggle, sorry, to get him. So,
yeah
we'll see. Who knows? Yeah. I hope I'm wrong, because I'd like Rory to win. To be honest, I'd like Lucas Glover to win. but that's a conversation we'll have in a bit when we get talking about the Ryder Cup. So, yeah, I mean, it's all to play for this week. Can we see anyone hauling in Scheffler? Who knows? Right, let's have a chat then about Ryder Cup, Matt, okay? It's not far away. We're going to have a bit of a chat. I want to sort of make this a bit Solheim Cuppy as well, because because we've been late getting this podcast out, we can actually talk about the European Solheim Cup team, which Suzanne Pettersen's picked her picks today, as well as the 8 that qualified automatically as well. So we'll talk. Should we talk about that first before we get into
it? Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
So her picks were Madeline Sagstrom, Gemma Dryberg, Emily Christine Pedersen, and Caroline Hedvall, which I mean, Hedvall, I remember playing in previous Solheim Cups and just being such a tough competitor, and certainly someone I would not want to play against. But then the rest of the team, we've got Celine Boutier. I mean, she picks herself. Maya Stark, Charlie Hull, Leona Maguire, Georgia Hall, Lynn Grant, Carlotta Sigander, and Anna Nordqvist. That is a pretty damn strong team.
It's so strong. It is so strong.
Americans, you're going to get battered.
it wouldn't surprise me.
I'm putting it out there, mate. I think these girls are just too strong. They're going to destroy them.
Yeah. No, I hope I'm right. And you know, obviously it's a home Solheim for.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've ever played Finca Courtesan, but what a golf course that is. That's down in Andalusia. Lovely part of Spain. And yeah, I'm going out there. I think Europe are gonna do very, very well.
Yeah, no, I think they will. I think they will. There's a very big Scandinavian.
Yes, indeed.
Look, mate, they're so good, aren't they? You can't. I mean, I think obviously you're looking at pairings as well. You know, you'd expect kind of Charlie Hull and Georgia Hall to play together. They're very good friends as well, aren't they? Off the course,
yeah.
You know, you'd naturally kind of stick Celine Boutier and Carlotta Sigander together. And then you can just almost mix and match the Swedes. I'd love to see Maya Stark play with Lynn Grant. I think that'd be brilliant. You know, I just think it's strength, but also the pairings look pretty strong as well. So
they do. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Exciting.
Looking forward to it.
I haven't even looked at the US team.
You're going to
have people like Lily Vu on there. You're going to have Nelly Korda, etc. But I just think the team kind of dynamic as well between these girls, I think, is just so strong that I'm far more confident about this than the Ryder Cup. Put it that way.
Really interesting.
Massively. Okay. So let's talk about Ryder Cup then. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're still a little while away from the teams getting picked, but there are obviously players already that are kind of in the team. There are some automatic picks on there that you just cannot see, you know, not getting into the team regardless. But then we've also, I think, when we get towards the kind of, I don't know, probably positions 10, 11, 12, where I think there's a lot of question marks. And there's a lot of players that could slot in there quite well and some that may miss out. I've written down the 12 that I would expect to be in the team, but I'm happy to be wrong.
I've done similar. So the good thing about the podcast delay is the fact that I put a little bit more time into this.
Okay,
I basically picked the team for him.
Okay, have you? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Luke, listening.
In fact, as soon as we finish, I'm going to fax him this team.
Who has a fax machine?
I don't know. It all sounds very transfer deadline day, doesn't it?
It all sounds a bit 80s, if I'm honest, mate.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I tell you what, you read your team out and I'll just say yes, because I'll have had that person as well.
Right. Yeah. So I think let's start with the people that we know have qualified for Team Europe at the moment, which is Rory McIlroy.
Yep.
John Rahm.
Yep.
Has Robert McIntyre qualified?
Not automatically, no.
Not automatically, but he's currently sitting in the list. He's currently in. Victor Hovland has.
Yep.
So what I've done is I've based this on the world's points and the European points as it stands at the moment.
Okay.
Because I've also got Tyrrell Hatton and Tommy Fleetwood.
Yep.
Basically, I think as nailed on picks. Now, Robert McIntyre is an interesting one for me, because if he qualifies, great. If he doesn't, I don't think I'd pick him.
I am completely with you on that one. Yeah.
I think
he's good enough. I just think there are players out there with just so much more experience. But yeah. I don't think, you know, if he made the team, I wouldn't be unhappy, put it that way.
No, and actually this whole thing about rookies, I don't mind rookies in a Ryder Cup because
Fitzpatrick's got to be in there as well.
So Fitzpatrick is another shoe-in for me. Whether he qualifies or not, he gets a pick.
I mean, I think he will because of the FedEx Cup. I mean, he's right up there, isn't he? So,
And then the very next name on my team list would be Justin Rose.
Yep, same here. Yep.
I think he's showed a real good return to form of late. He's playing pretty solid. But also, when you look around that team, you know, I know you've got players like Rahm, Hovland, Hatton, Fleetwood have all won big events. As far as Ryder Cups are concerned, you know, this will be Rahm's third. It will be Hovland's second, Hatton's third, Fleetwood's third. Fitzpatrick has played in two. And I think based on the fact that you're probably going to get one of, for me, you're going to get one of Robert McIntyre or Adrian Meronk.
Yep.
Adrian Meronk for me would go.
Okay.
I would pick him because he's got form on that golf course. He's won around that golf course.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it that way. I didn't really look at that. Meronk's not in my team.
Is he not?
I would happily put him in. He's not. Yeah, like I say, he's awesome. So
yeah.
I've
also got a big question mark next to Shane Lowry.
Yeah, I've got him in my team, but yeah. I agree with you. Yeah, but I just think he's just so experienced and so good that I just couldn't leave him out.
Yeah, and that's what I think. I think he would go, for me, he would go. So then I'm looking at that team, right, and then I would almost go bold with my last two picks, and I would take two rookies, and I would almost take two people that I think need to be integrated into this Ryder Cup environment as quick as possible. And I think that they maybe become as a pair. And that's Rasmus and Nikolai Højgaard.
Okay.
So I would almost take, if I wouldn't take one or the other, I would take both or neither.
Yeah, I agree. Because, I mean, I've left Rasmus out, even though he's pretty close. And I was thinking it'd be great if his brother was as high in the rankings as he is, because it'd be an easy pick, but he's not.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from. So because of that, I haven't put Rasmus in. In my team, I've got all that you've just spoken about, but then I've got three different players in there. So I've put Alex Noren in there.
Okay, I like the pick. I did consider that.
I've put Victor Perez in there.
So Perez for me is the one, he's just so out of form, isn't he? Like, I really wanted him to do well.
And Seamus Power is the other one.
Yeah, so Seamus Power and Sepp Straka are the two for me.
Yeah, I mean, I've not even got him written down. And I actually, it was only after yesterday when I wrote this down that I thought, he's got to be in there. I mean,
yeah.
He's literally...
It's weird for me.
He's the sort of guy that can get hot and literally shoot seriously low as well, isn't it? He shoots low 60s four or five times a year. And thinking about it now, I think I would probably drop either of Perez or Power for Straka. I think I would definitely just move him above everybody and put him in there.
See, I look at those four names that we've just listed there at the end, and I think at the moment, would I take... So, because I've still got a gap, right? So, because I wouldn't take Robert McIntyre.
Okay.
I've only got 11 on my list, right? So I'm looking at, would I take Perez over Robert?
Do you know who's right up there as well? Is Yannick Paul. We've not even talked about him. He's literally right up there on the European points list.
Massive. You know, Yannick Paul and Seamus Power are two for me that if we're having this conversation 3 months ago, it's almost like they're nailed on.
Yeah.
Sepp Straka for me is just very streaky. Like if I'm having to pick one of those four, I probably lean towards Seamus Power.
Yeah, I think now that, so having just had this conversation, I've got 12 guys now that I think would be in my team. So I've gone Rahm, McIlroy, Hovland, Fleetwood, Fitzpatrick, Hatton, Rose, Lowry, and then I've got Noren, McIntyre, Straka, Meronk, just purely because I would put both Højgaards in, but only one of them's anywhere near. So I'm leaving them both out.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, we've still got time for someone to make a surge. And
this is the other thing. Someone, what, yeah. Hopefully it's Victor Perez.
We've got Prague this week. We've got Cran next week, which normally
is one of my favourites.
Yeah, I was talking to Dan today while we were playing a few holes at Howley, and he was just telling me how amazing it is at Cran. It's just one place I'd absolutely love to go. He's taking all his family out there next week, so they're going to be
surprised.
Yeah, I don't blame him either. So, yeah, they're going to.
So, what about America? Have you looked at Team USA?
Yeah, I have, and it scares the living daylights out of me, if I'm brutally honest. They're just so good, mate. So good.
I think we go toe to toe.
Do you? It depends. It depends if Johnson is strong enough to pick some of the live guys.
So
if he doesn't, they're weaker, 100%.
They're absolutely weaker, but how many live guys are you taking?
Two, maybe three.
So I'm assuming you're taking Brooks and Bryson.
100%. They have to play.
Yeah, they're the two that I've got on my list.
And the only one, the other one that I was thinking about, to be honest, there's two. But one he would never pick is Patrick Reed, even though he's playing absolutely great. And he would literally wind up the Europeans like you would not believe.
I just think he'd wind up off the American team as well, though, wouldn't he?
Well, potentially. This is the thing, is whether he's too toxic to the rest of them that causes the problem, I suppose. I don't know. Gucci is the other one. Yeah, so he's literally from the grave. So I would much rather have Taylor Gucci in that team than Cam Young or Colin Morikawa right now.
Yeah. So the issue that the USA team have got, right, is that their automatic qualifiers at the moment is Scotty Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman, Patrick Cantlay, Max Homer, and Xander Schauffele.
Yeah.
Right. There's only three Ryder Cup appearances between those six.
Yeah, Scheffler is the only one that scares the living daylights out of you when you're going to play against him, I would say.
Yeah. Obviously, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman, Max Homer being rookies. Amazingly, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele have only played one Ryder Cup each. And I think Xander Schauffele stunk the place out in the last one, did he not?
Yeah.
I don't think he played very well.
I don't think he's the same golfer that he was before.
No.
He's just so consistent. And again, is he going to make 10 birdies around? Absolutely not. But is he going to make loads and be very consistent? Yes.
Yeah.
You just put him with a birdie machine, don't you?
And you do. So in terms of picks, right, let's start with Justin Thomas. Because interestingly, today it's been announced that he's going to play in one of these like off-season events after the FedEx Cup.
Okay.
So obviously, I reckon that Zach Johnson really wants to take him. I do. I genuinely believe that. But I think he needs to see something from him. And he needs to try and play his way into form between now and then. I think when you're struggling with your game like he has, especially the last few months, I think that you put yourself under incredible pressure to go out and perform. As things stand right now, Justin Thomas doesn't make the team for me.
No, I would agree. I mean, I'm just looking at the 12 kind of highest point scorers on the list, and so you've got the ones you've spoken about: Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman, Cantlay, Homer, Schauffele. I think they go right.
Yeah, they're all qualified, those boys.
Spieth, I think, is a shoo-in.
Yep, I've got him.
For me, Koepka is an absolute shoo-in.
Yeah, I've got him.
So then that leaves you four players. Now, for me, those four would be DeChambeau.
Yep.
Fowler.
Yep.
Lucas Glover and Tony Finau. That's who I'd take.
Do you know what? Why did I overlook Tony Finau? Right, mine's just changed. So
But then that means you're leaving out Cam Young, Colin Morikawa, Keegan Bradley and Sam Burns. So,
interestingly, I've just crossed out Colin Morikawa and put Tony Finau in.
I'm just thinking, you look at the conversation we've just had about the top, filling the top end of the European team and the players we're talking about now for the US team is completely different.
But interestingly, right, so the experience for the USA comes with the picks. Right, so for me, Spieth has played 4, Fowler's played 4, Brooks has played 3, Bryson's played 2, I think Finau's done 2, I haven't checked that, but I'm pretty sure. And I'll tell you who goes for me, who's been playing really solid golf of late, a little bit of a resurgence, and it's got that kind of, that nastiness streak about him, is Keegan Bradley.
Yeah.
I think when he's in the mood, he can putt the place out.
Yeah, he's a great player, really good player.
And so he was on my list over the other guys. So my 6 picks would have been Spieth, Fowler, Brooks, Keegan Bradley, Bryson, and now Tony Finau. I did have Morikawa down, but I completely forgot about Tony Finau.
Is Glover in your team?
No, Glover isn't. He was in contention, but
I would have to pick him because he's just on such good form. I'd love him to play great this week as well and really push Scheffler. I'd love him to have 2 good first couple of rounds and really get up there, but we'll see.
I can just unfortunately...
It's a fairy tale story for him. I could just think it'd be amazing.
It would be really good. Unfortunately, I just see him kind of fading away this week.
We'll see. I mean, he's literally, since he's changed that putter, he's literally just playing amazing.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, to even keep a PGA Tour card every year when you've got the yips is unbelievable.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. He's very. It's great to see him doing
and
well.
And who wouldn't want him as a partner in foursomes or four ball? I mean, he's just literally arrow straight and puts the world to death. So,
yeah.
I just think in terms of the depth, the US team is so much better. But I think for the individuals, European team's better. It has like fireworks going off everywhere, but the US team is just consistency, isn't it? All the way through, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's going to make for an amazing few days, isn't it? And you know, it's fast approaching, really, isn't it? It's not far away.
I can tell you, if you want to know exactly, because I've got a countdown timer on my phone.
Oh, really?
So we've got 38 days.
Have we? Wow.
We have.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And yeah, it'd be interesting, those of you listening, whether you think, you know, how the heck have you not picked him? Or even, you know, if you've got any comments about Solheim Cup as well, are you quite as confident as I am? There might be some of Americans out there that think I'm talking absolute rubbish, and I'm happy for you to tell me. So yeah, if you want to get in contact, you can do all the usual channels, so info@golfshake.com or through any of the social media channels as well. But yeah, it's definitely going to be exciting. Right, the last little feature we've got, we spoke about it at the start, is about trolley, right? So we said at the start, Motorcaddy have been so kind. They've sent us 3 electric trolleys to put through the paces. So we've had the S1, we've had the S5 GPS, and we've also had the M7 GPS, which, Motorcaddy, if you're listening, you're not having it back, all right? So I've been using it a lot. Absolutely love it. Let's start at that end, because this is a... Well, first, let's talk. I know you have a trolley, Matt. It's not an electric one. Is there any reason why you don't have an electric one? Is there anything that puts you off about it?
I just feel like I have too much going on in my life to worry about making sure the trolley's charged.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, look, I mean, Motorcaddy were really good in offering me the push trolley this year to help in the events where I'm playing 36 holes in a day. There has been a fair few of them, and it's probably something that I will continue to use. Historically, I'm a carrier of my bag, and I wouldn't, you know, if I went out this morning, for example, and I wouldn't use the trolley. But in those 36 holes, I want more water, I want a few more snacks, you might want waterproof clothing, you might want the umbrella, you know, you might put an extra couple of sleeves of balls in the bag to be on the safe side, and all of a sudden your bag is getting a little bit heavier to carry for 36 holes, sometimes in the heat, sometimes in the rain. So it's been an absolute godsend this year for those events. If you're asking me about that model in particular, the Cube, and this is not a paid advert or anything, what I would say is I've had trolleys in the past, And that promise of how compact they get when you fold them down. I've always felt like I've been a little bit over-promised. But what I'm so impressed with the cube is how compact it goes, to the point where it literally sits on one of the back seats of my car, and you barely even notice it's there. I don't feel the need to take it in and out and put it in the shed or in the garage. It just sits in the car, so it literally takes up no room. And it's so quick and easy to kind of fold out and fold down. For what I need, it ticks absolutely every single box.
It has to be said, like I say, motor caddy is the one we're talking about right now because we've just been sent a load. But, you know, I've had power caddy in the past. They do that micro trolley that pretty much folds down similar. I know Big Macs have some that fold down quite small as well. So there are other trolley brands out there. And again, it'd be interesting because there'll be loads of you that use different types of trolley, and good to hear ones that, you know, maybe we wouldn't get sent. I mean, generally, power caddy, motor caddy are the ones that we get sent to do reviews of, aren't they? Yeah, they're kind of the big hitters in the world of trolleys, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, interesting to hear your feedback, some of you guys listening, about different trolleys that you've got. I mean, some of the electric ones out there now, you know, the Stuarts of this world, which I personally have never used one, but people rave about them. But yeah, I mean, like I say, motor caddy, they've literally got every single kind of trolley you could possibly want, haven't they? I mean, the push trolleys they have, so they have the Z1, which is a kind of traditional push trolley, I suppose, the P1, which is quite a nice trolley, again folds down a bit bigger, and then, like you say, the cube that you've got folds down really, really small, doesn't it, and kind of fits anywhere. I actually had a customer that came to see me a few weeks ago who's got a Corvette, and he can just about fit his set of clubs in the boot, but in the front of the Corvette there's like a little kind of, I don't know, I suppose like a little luggage space, and we found that the only trolley that would fit in there was that motor caddy cube. So that's what he's ordered for himself. Nice. It just fits like absolutely perfect inside this little Corvette, which is a really, really nice car.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I did have. And actually it was the third ever kind of review or article that I actually wrote for Golf Shake back in 2012. So what's that? 11 years ago. Was a go-kart.
Okay, yeah.
Which was very good, actually. Very good. It had like a funky speed control on it, so you kind of...
pushed it and pulled it, is it?
Yeah, basically you pushed it down and it just kind of went at the speed that you was walking, and then as you slowed down, you kind of pulled it back.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, and sort of push trolley-wise, I had one of the iCart ones, which Masters make, a while ago, and it was great too. Really, really robust, and had like a sort of manual brake on it as well, which was quite cool. And but yeah, I mean, electric trolleys are, I mean, the growth in electric trolleys in the last few years has been massive, particularly the US market for motor caddy has grown like exponentially, just massive. I mean, particularly with COVID and people not being able to use carts, which is obviously a big thing out there in America, where people are sharing buggies all the time, which you couldn't do. So the sort of sales on electric trolleys just went through the roof in the US, and to some extent they just couldn't keep up with it. And we know that there was people waiting for electric trolleys. Certainly as a retailer, it was hard to get hold of them at one time, but they seem to have got a handle on that now. But some of the new models that they've brought out, so the ones that we've been sent by Motor Caddy, like I said to you, the ones we had were the S1, the S5 GPS, and the M7 remote GPS as well. So I'll start with the M7, which is the one I had, which is, I mean, retails at £1,499, which for an electric trolley is just, I mean, my first car was less than that. So yeah, I mean, but it's very impressive. I mean, all of the models of trolley in Motor Caddy are great because they fold down really small. So the M series fold down a little bit smaller than the S series. But then you've got the wheels that kind of fold in on themselves. Have you seen this, Matt, with those kind of concave and go around the kind of...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they just fit ever so much smaller in your boot, really. So the M series just have that extra fold in them that just makes them that little bit smaller. But even then, the S-Series still folds down pretty small too. But the added GPS features that we had on there. So Motocaddy have an app, which many of you may use because it's a free GPS app, which does kind of link to the trolley as well. So if you've got the Motocaddy GPS on your phone, it will link to the GPS on the trolley and gives you all the features on there. So you've got like the flyovers that you have of each hole. You can drag it into the fairway. So you've got your layups. You can obviously the green sort of view, you can drag the pin around. So if it's moved in certain positions on the golf course, you'll be able to get the exact yardage you want to that pin. Obviously the remote option meant that you could steer it yourself without having to touch the trolley, which was pretty good and pretty funky. Takes a bit of getting used to because it's quite sensitive, I would say. But you can do donuts with your trolley, which I found out, which is pretty cool. but yeah, we've had the obviously the S5 again, which is a completely different model with the GPS on there as well. That had all the same features. That retails around, well, it's 949 is the RRP, so it's still quite an expensive trolley. But then we got down to the S series, which is kind of their entry level at like 650, which, thinking that entry level trolleys at £650 is still pretty expensive, but everything's expensive nowadays, mate, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. I think for the price of some of them, I think I'd want a leprechaun to jump out and find a fairway for me as well, to be honest.
Possibly. There are other models out there. So the Power Caddy do have their RX1 GPS, which is pretty similar, I would say, to the M7 that I tried. It's touchscreen, it's remote control, it's got GPS features on it. Doesn't link to an app like the Motocaddy one does, but still, I mean, the technology in the handle of the Powercaddy one is fantastic. But again, I mean, these trolleys are super expensive nowadays. And for those of you that follow any of us on social media, I put a video on Golf Shake last week. One of the things I've always seen with remote control trolleys is that sometimes they fall over. So I really put the one that I had to the test. Tried to get it to go up a really steep slope at Howley, and it managed it, to be fair. Didn't tip over. My club stayed in the bag, got to the top of the hill, and it was pretty good. But we've actually done standalone reviews of all of these trolleys as well, which will be coming to the YouTube channel fairly soon. But yeah, I mean, this is something that, I mean, I don't use a trolley every time I play. Most of the time I carry, like you, Matt, to be honest. But when I do use a trolley, I want one that I can rely on. And certainly the one that I've been using, the Motocaddy, has been absolutely fantastic. And certainly one, like I said at the start there, that I don't really want to give them back, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to let me keep a £1,500 trolley. But yeah, the M7 GPS is very, very good. And particularly the remote control version that I had was very, very good as well. But yeah, keep your eyes peeled for those reviews that we've got on the channel. And yeah, give us your thoughts as well, because it'd be good to hear whether you use an electric trolley. A lot of you do, whether you use a push trolley, whether you carry, let us know that as well. Because, me and Matt, I would say a fairly good representation of your average golfer, really, aren't we? I mean, we kind of...
Very average.
Yeah, I'm distinctly average at times, but yeah, it's I would certainly carry more often than I wouldn't, to be honest. But having an electric trolley there to use is obviously a good thing as well. But I mean, we're getting to that time of year as well where a lot of golf courses are going to insist on you using things like winter wheels. So does your course do that?
I'll be honest, I don't know, because I've never used a trolley in the winter. Like, I would definitely 100% just carry anyway. I do see people skidding their trolleys about, and you get the ropes come up, but people just go over the ropes, or you get too many people parking their trolleys in the same places, and it causes mud. Like, I'll be honest, like, I'm dead against trolleys in the winter. I really am.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either. I would like to encourage more people to carry. I get that some people can't play without a trolley because they can't carry their bag, but.
Yeah, no, I won't discriminate against, like the older generation that really need that. But, I know of lots of young, strong, fit men that go to the gym four times a week and then pull their tour bag out on a Saturday morning and stick it on their electric trolley. And I just
You're
think
absolutely
that's
right.
Do better.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. And I think if you are that type of demographic, then yeah, you should be carrying, really. Yeah. And it could almost be as easy as limiting the amount of clubs people can use, so it's lighter and stuff like that. I don't know, but yeah. They definitely shouldn't be using full bag of clubs and a tall bag and a trolley in the middle of winter. Absolutely not. Matt, that is all we've got time for this week. Over time already, but we haven't done our weekly check-in on your friend, have we?
No, well, I was going to say...
Is that what you're going to start with?
Well, yeah. No, so I had two things that I was going to very quickly mention. One is the fact that... So we've got a development in the chase for Pinder qualification.
Do we need a
drum roll? He has got, he's put a new club in the bag and he reckons that this is going to make a difference. He reckons a big September coming up. And he's put one of these TaylorMade Burner mini drivers in the bag.
They are awesome then, by the way.
Yeah. What he doesn't realise is that it's not going to get him to qualify for the Pinder. But the message that I had from him today was ready to make the end of September a big month. Now, that's okay. A statement for somebody that couldn't outdrive me last week.
Is he off to the Ryder Cup? Right, okay.
No. The other thing I was going to quickly mention was about the Czech Masters this week on a European tour.
Yes.
Very, very interesting. There's one player that we didn't talk about for the Ryder Cup, and that was Ludvig Åberg.
Yeah, there's a reason why.
So this is an interesting development, right? So when you look at the tee times for the Czech Masters this week, you have got Luke Donald is playing with Robert McIntyre.
Okay.
So he's obviously having a little look there. But it's the groups at 12:50 and 1 o'clock that are more interesting for me. You've got Eduardo Molinari, who's a vice captain, who's playing with Yannick Paul and Rasmus Højgaard.
Okay.
And you've got Francesco Molinari, who's also a vice captain, who's playing with Nikolai Højgaard and Ludvig Åberg.
Right.
So you've got those four guys there that are obviously being paired with vice captains for.
You reckon he's in contention, do you?
He is in contention. He's very highly spoken of. Really highly spoken of. Some really impressive performances. Obviously, he's not had a breakthrough win yet, but that's a matter of time. And even the group after that, by the way, we've got Adrian Maronk, Thorbjørn Olesen and Shane Lowry playing together.
Yeah, Thorbjørn was the other one that I was thinking, you know, him and Norren were kind of 50-50 whether I picked him for experience. But I think I'd just go with Norren because I just love the way he plays.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Interesting how they've been grouped together. So keep your eye on that.
Bit of inside knowledge, Matt. You literally have studied the start sheet of a European Tour event.
Well, just because I know that they do it, in a run-up to Ryder Cup. I know, I remember Matt Wallace a few years back when he was on the cusp and he was playing well. He had, I can't remember who it was, but he had people with him. So, I know that they do it.
You are a golfing pervert, Matthew.
There we go. You are welcome.
That's on the note. We'll see you all again next week. Thank you for listening. Me and Matt really appreciate it. And yeah, hopefully we'll talk about some more players who are pushing for Ryder Cup spots next week.
Goodbye.